settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Avery, and welcome to the Spirits Work Show, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. And this week we'll be discussing developing your gifts of spirit, and this is part six. We have lots of emails asking us questions all the time, so we know that there's a need for this sort of program, and if you'd like to join us, the phone lines will be open, and the number to call in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. So if you have any problems with your spirit development, or you want to start developing your spiritual gifts, or wonder if you have any at all, anything like that, anything to do with spirit or the spirit world, then do give us a ring on the U.S. 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-810-8322.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery, as well as Spirits Work on bbsradio.com on Mondays at 7 p.m. PST and Thursdays at 1 p.m. PST. We also have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, Book and Akashic Reading, or any of the other services that we have on offer, please go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. That's www.spirit-teaching.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'm going to be channeling our resident spirit expert called Gregory Hay, who will be taking center stage on the show. I've been working in this way with Gregory for many years now. Spirit guide Gregory will borrow my body so he can speak to you, and because of it, I go into the deep trance state, I won't be aware of anything that happens. So, if you have a question relating to our subject of discussion, it is Gregory who will be talking to you. I'm going to hand over the show to Sylvie now and have a great show. Goodbye.
Could you have said that any faster?
Well, I could have done, actually. I didn't get my mixed words up.
Okay, thanks, Mick. Don't forget that the number is toll-free tonight. I don't think I said that. It's a toll-free number. Okay. So, anyway, those who aren't familiar with Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of scientific minds of all description, along with ordinary people who have a valuable input to make. They're an educational team and have come to give us access to information that we need to know in order that we may move towards a more harmonious and peaceful way of life, to understand the nature of our existence and hopefully save our world from the negative spiral we seem to be caught in. It's a huge event in the spirit world when we do this kind of communication, so it's not only us on Earth who will be listening, but also thousands of spirit beings in the spirit world who are also listening and watching the experts in the team working in this way. And, of course, the people also that are with you, that are listening with you, because they're with you, you're listening, so they will be interested to see what you're learning. So this is wonderful. There are those who have had a physical life on Earth, and also those who would like to in the future, which is why the mediums for the group, our aim is to offer positive input into exactly why we are here and how we can, with a concerted effort from everybody, restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And as we said, if you want to know more about us, our website is spirit-teaching.com. I would just like to take this opportunity to also say that we now have another mini Akashic reading show on the 14th of May, and that's the Monday night. We have one spot left open on that, so do get in touch if you would like a mini Akashic reading. I will need your full name at birth, including any middle names, your date of birth, a telephone number, just in case I lose your email, and one question. And email this to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I'll get back to you. And this is the thing is, if I'm fully booked up for that one, and you can't wait for the next time, and you can make it on the Thursday, which is the 17th in the afternoon, 17th of May, we have our other Spirit's Work show at 1 p.m., and that's Pacific time, and there's a few spaces left on that, so do get in touch, and we'll see what we can do. So, hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. With love and light, as always.
Thank you. So, today we're going to have a continuation of our talk. It's very interesting. The people that have been phoning up, you know, it's fascinating that the problems that they phone up with are things that can affect everybody.
Yes, of course.
And I'm just so glad that you're here to answer their questions and their problems.
Well, so am I, friend.
So tonight we thought we'd venture into the mechanics of how it is that you guys in the spirit world can actually bring these messages to us. I mean, I'm not necessarily talking about trance now.
No, quite so, because this is one aspect of development.
Yeah.
It always amuses us that people who develop in other gifts suddenly find or suddenly express a whole parameter of understanding about our side of life when they haven't actually developed that aspect of their gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing, really, that now we're not trying to belittle anyone. All that we say is that when you go to develop for a specific gift, that you actually, as I had said previously, you will say that at the beginning of the development process. So that when you sit in circle or whatever it is that you do, however it is that you develop, if you're, for example, then sitting for clairvoyance or something like that, then what you are actually doing is perhaps joining with, shall we say, eight people, and you will sit in a regular way.
So this is people here who want to develop their clairvoyance. So you get in what we call a circle, a group. A group of you will get together,
yes,
which is an idea that we suggest, because I don't think they do that so much
no.
in America.
No, I understand that is not the practice. And what I'm saying is that this is the ideal practice
okay.
that you should commit to. So all of those people out there who are struggling away, trying to develop something themselves, or not really knowing, and perhaps they're downloading material or whatever it is and trying to understand the knowledge base behind it, what I'm saying is what you really need to do is to, first of all, be able to communicate, reach out to communicate with other beings who are in a similar situation. And what you can do is get together and explore what each other's gifts there are. Perhaps one person would most likely take the circle, that is, direct it. And it doesn't have to be someone who is already developed, although it is possible that a person needs to have some development of that gift of spirit, whatever it is. Just because that person has one particular gift doesn't mean to say that everyone else has to have the same one.
But there is a overseeing the situation, aren't they? Not
yes.
in judgment and...
No, quite so.
You know, that sort of thing.
Real
yes. building a big,
yes.
big stick, or you must do it like this or whatever.
Yes, yes, quite so. It should not be a judgmental situation. It should just be there so that the practice is brought about in a safe way.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we would really recommend then, shall we say then, if you as an individual have a clairvoyant gift, that is, that you have been seeing people within your mind's eye, within your consciousness, that people from our side of life have been brought to you in some way. What we want to first of all discuss is how this is actually brought about. So this is really to do with your central core energy. That is to do with your relationship with your spirit, not necessarily that you would even have a relationship with your spirit, but to do with the vibration of life. It may well be that how you develop is something ulterior to your physical life. In other words, you might be actually not that much of a nice human being and yet still have gifts of spirit. They don't necessarily tally, because in actual fact, beings in the spirit world will work with almost anyone. So the state of play really is in defining what your gifts are, as we have previously discussed, but also in understanding how it is that those in the spirit world gather around you, if you have gifts. And everyone does have a gift. So, in other words, every single being in physical life is actually in the company of other beings from the spirit world. You may just not realize it yet. For those of you who do realize it, what is actually happening is that when you have a clairvoyant sensation that someone draws close to you, what actually happens is very interesting. What actually happens is that it is the condition of energy of love which draws close to you. And you as a physical being feel energy either to one side or another, or you feel it coming forward toward your face or from behind. You may actually catch glimpses of this energy, of this person. They may present themselves in exactly the same clothes that they wore on the day that they passed, or maybe even present themselves in the state of when they were best remembering themselves. And how they do this is actually through cellular memory. That's how being from our side of life visits that aspect. So the spirit will actually be concentrating upon that themselves, and what will happen is that the spirit world will actually have developed a kind of envelope which allows that spirit being to reach from our side of life to yours, and to move their spirit state and the energy of the persona that they were in physical life to be presented. That is, what they do is they wear exactly the same kind of garb and that kind of thing that they would have been, that would have been familiar to them in their physical life. That doesn't mean to say they still have clothes necessarily. This is all tied into the cellular memory of what is with the consciousness of the spirit at the time of passing. The situation then will be that clairvoyantly you will pick up the actual vision of this person. You may pick up also clairaudiently that they are telling you various things about the situation of their life. This may be quite surprising to you to begin with, but I'm sure that you will soon relax into it. And it may be also a case of trial and error as well, that it doesn't necessarily come in full flow, but that it is in fits and starts. And that is because the development process needs to continue along the road, so that you develop to a reasonable understanding of what to expect. Some of the things, of course, that you are brought may not necessarily be all that nice or wholesome to view. For example, the way that a person passes or something like that. Perhaps it is in an accident of some description. People's passing is usually quite an ugly business, or can be in physical life. It isn't necessarily something that is wondrous. If you observe it in physical life, it is something that you really try not to remember, because it always looks, perhaps, as though that person, well, after all, it's painful or whatever, you see? And so that may be a part of the condition that is brought with the image that you see. So what is it exactly? How is this manifested? Well, what happens in the spirit world is that we gather together. There will be a team of one or two or more scientists, depending, and that is to do with every single being in physical life. There will be a number of other beings with them. And they will have certain jobs, certain initiations, helping that physical being to explore those gifts if they awaken to it. That's their choice. It's your free will, friend. You have the physical life experience. We've done with it. We don't need to do it again. So when you have a physical life experience, it is really up to your decision as to whether you bring this about for your life or not. So actually then, what happens is this being who comes to you from the spirit world, they bring their loving condition. They bring their familiar physical condition as well, to bring that to you as a form of description of who they are. After all, if you can imagine for a moment that this is a spirit being from the spirit world, they don't know you from Adam. They're actually possibly quite nervous. Perhaps they don't even understand fully the mechanism that they are going to use. They may try to speak to you, and actually all that comes out are garbles and not words at all, as far as they are concerned. So they try again, and perhaps try to send or concentrate their thoughts, and their energy of love allows those thoughts to reach to you, because that is the energy vibration of inclusion. It is the energy vibration that brings the possibility of what you are seeing and what they are displaying to you. So it is that energy which makes the bridge. Serotonin is the energy, is the mechanism, the pheromonic mechanism, which brings energy of love from you to them. And yes, of course, the spirit doesn't have serotonin. So how is it possible that a non-physical being such as a spirit doesn't have serotonin yet can create love? Because, quite simply, my dear friends, that is from the well within a self of the spirit divine, and that the energy of love is that which makes the universe, makes the ether world work. That is a part of what God is, the energy of love. In the physical term, you need to have a physical mechanism in order to bring it up to the surface. Of course, this is initiated by images, visions, sensory perception, sound, and that kind of thing. Your reaction to the co-creation of your living field experience in the physical side of life. That is what brings about the morphic change of endomorphines from your physical body, and that is the expression of love that you feel in a physical way. But what you actually create within yourself, of course, is the expression of divine bliss, empathy. You are drawn to this familiar perception about yourself, because it is something which comes from a very early age. It begins in infancy and propels you all the way through life. Particularly, of course, for those who have been lucky enough to be around the loving vibration all their life. Some people are not, and in that case, that is why you need to develop your gifts to actually set aside the negative field events which have slowed your vibration down as a physical being. This will only then get to accentuate the heightened awareness, the visibility that you have of those on our side of life. And as they come to you in their various disguises, your gifts of connection with your spirit will help to illuminate what you see, because of the love within you and the love within that spirit, and their connection being drawn to you to help that communication mix. Also, of course, what happens is that in the spirit world, the actual mechanism which is taking place is amplifying that love experience. And that is drawing and making the cemented communication work between the two of you. As I say, for some people who are just beginning or who are perhaps somewhere along the road, but they haven't completely fully developed their gift of spirit in this clairvoyant way, then perhaps some of the development, some of the communication will be a little haphazard. It won't be complete. It will be slightly garbled. So you may actually have to begin to say words like, oh, well, would you please step a bit closer? You're not quite in range, or something like that. This is only a figurative of speech. It doesn't mean to say that the being is actually stationed very close to you. A clairvoyant may actually receive messages of images of people, including perhaps their audio identity or something like that, and sensitivity as well from you as a part of that gift, may actually release certain details to a loved one that they are with, and it may not necessarily be that that person comes to within range of you as a whole being. They may actually be standing next to the person that you are to give the message to. So what happens then? What actually happens then, my friend, is that that being from the spirit world, the visitor, will actually send the message to you, what they want you to say on their behalf, by way of telepathy, by way of messages in thought form, to give them to you, to send them to you, and what they do is project them, and they project them through a conical instrument called a trumpet. And usually in the spirit world, we have these mechanisms which are actually not visible to the ordinary human eye. And the trumpet funnels the energy of the person's normal physical voice that they had, but of course they're in the spirit world now. And what actually happens is they send this voice by placing their head at one end of the trumpet, and what you hear is the other end. Now, in physical manifestation, this is something which is actually physical, and what happens is that the trumpet actually becomes a physical union between the spirit world and the physical world, and that in that event, the spirit person can speak into the trumpet, and the trumpet will actually be related to a physical trumpet on the earth plane that you have to make for this situation special for that occasion. And what then happens is the voice is transferred through that trumpet. Usually the etheric trumpet is made from ectoplasm from the medium themselves in that situation. But in the situation of clairvoyance or clairaudience or something like that, the trumpet remains etheric and is purely an energy vortex which holds the mechanism to bring the voice to you. And that mechanism amplifies the spirit being's voice. So they don't actually have to talk that loudly. They can in fact talk with their minds. They don't really have to open their mouths either. They don't actually, remember, have a physical body at that time. It is all circumspect. It is all down to the situation of consciousness reliving the cellular memory of that soul.
So there's different ways of receiving clairaudience, which we call clear hearing, isn't it? There's different ways of them receiving that, a medium receiving that, isn't there? You can hear it in that respect so that it actually sounds like it is outside of your head.
Yes, that is true. Shall we talk with that first?
Okay.
So the situation of the voice outside of the head is actually then that it sounds as though the voice is actually coming from somewhere in the air, as though it is actually being spoken by an unseen being, even though the being themselves may be 30 or 40 feet away from you, or even more. And that spirit, as I say, may be standing next to a person sitting down or someone standing or whatever, and they're perhaps standing at their shoulder, and yet they are actually communicating with you, the medium, and what they're doing is they're projecting their language to you. And what happens, as I say, is that it will be as a form of energy which is holding the vortex, which is holding and amplifying the voice, and what they actually use is a very low frequency of a structure which is something similar to the voice box. And in the spirit world, they bring this to fruition so that beings on the other side of life can use it to speak through.
So is this trumpet and these people using the trumpet, obviously the spirit team working with that medium, do they have the trumpet at all times and they're not just ready when that medium is going to work?
Oh yes, quite so. Well, it actually becomes part of the mechanism which belongs to the medium, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is part of the gift that that person has. So how is that constructed? Well, it is really, as I say, it is initiated by the situation of advancement of that person understanding, yes, I have a gift and I will use it to benefit people for the good. And so what they will do is they will actually be drawn to continue with that development, which will actually then be that there are other things developing on in the spirit world, and that is usually the situation which is developing in the spirit world. It is to do with this channel of communication. As I say, it isn't actual physical mediumship. It isn't in the same nature of the situation as in a physical medium on physical earth, in the world of matter. But it is a part of it. It is, if you like, the first part of it.
Behind the scenes.
Yes, quite so. And it isn't quite so elaborate as it is in the mechanism to do with a physical trumpet in the world of matter. Mm. It is a much simplified version of it, and something that's actually quite quick to arrange.
Right. So that's the external method.
Yes.
Now, the other methods, I'm sure there's more than these two, but it can seem like it's in your mind.
Yes, right inside your head. Mm-hmm. And that, again, is a form of projection. But the point is, what is actually happening then is that the situation within the actual cortex of the brain is that there is a part of your consciousness which, when elevated, allows communication processes to work. Now, sometimes you may hear it as a sort of a howling or a fuzzing in your mind, and you wonder, well, what on earth's that? Or clicking in the ears and that kind of thing. It is really, in a sense, the beginning of those in our side of life trying to break through the barrier of communication which may be there. And I say barrier, it is only really to do with the development process. It means that really what you should do is say, well, yes, I can hear that or this or whatever, if it's clicks and whirs and that kind of thing, that you would say, oh yes, I can hear that, but it isn't very clear, then they will be able to adjust the frequency. That is really what they're doing. They're trying to communicate with you in wrappings or all that kind of thing.
And that can happen,
and
not only, you know, random times, when you're sitting for development. I'm sure
absolutely.
People can associate with that.
Yes, quite so. And it almost sounds as though it's right inside of your head or inside your ear or something like that. And actually what they're doing is they are very often tapping the various parts of your inner ear in order to either attract your attention, to find out perhaps how they can fix a certain mechanism within your inner ear, or actually help the situation to develop further. And that is why they really need to have an actual physical response or acknowledgement from you that something is going on, you see.
So that's still external then.
Yes, in that case. Now, so then what happens when the sound is, it's almost as though it's coming right from inside your head, then actually what is happening there is the spirit being is actually projecting their thought process straight into your consciousness.
And that's when you can think that maybe that it's your own mind.
Yes, quite so. And actually what's happening then, and of course, yes, there has to be great care taken there, because at times you may think, well, I don't want this person in my head, you see.
Mm.
It is most certainly that some people find it much better to actually say, well, within certain times of working, this is when I would allow you to do this, and at other times you must stay out, and actually have times of exclusion of those from the spirit world. Otherwise, it can become quite infiltrating.
Intrusive.
And intrusive, yes, quite so. Some people may get actually quite tired of it, particularly if they don't actually command this form of duality of respect, if you like. As I said, beings in the spirit world will take every advantage that they can, if they can, and depending upon their development state.
And this is when...
So it doesn't necessarily mean to say that everyone that you're going to meet and communicate with from the spirit world is always going to be that beautiful mind or that blissful being, that ascended master or whatever that you feel you should have a right to access of. You see, the beings in the spirit world are also normal, have been normal physical beings, and they're just over in the spirit world because they died. So what actually happens is that the physical body is left and the consciousness is what is the resolve of that. And that's what you're dealing with. So the situations and states of mind that they had when they were in physical life may well be still left over. It may still well be the thing that drives that being. That they were not perhaps very nice, perhaps they ate like a pig, drank like a fish. Or, alternatively, they may have swum with dolphins.
So, and presumably then, that people need to know that if they don't respect your wishes, then that's a red light, isn't it? Really?
It is, absolutely
so. If they still continue with making themselves known, felt, sensed, and heard, that sort of thing.
Yes, quite so.
Then that's not good.
No, quite so. And obviously some people have actually ended up in being driven quite mad by the whole situation.
Yes.
And of course for some people it actually may become a clinical condition for which you have to have psychiatric help for.
Yes. Okay.
So you must be careful.
Mm. So how does one decipher whether it is just your mind and a message from the spirit world?
Well, the situation would usually be that many people with clairvoyance or clairaudience, clairsentience, won't necessarily automatically communicate or connect with a being, a loved one, from someone else who is past for a client or whatever. It may well be, of course, that the beginning connection comes from loved ones, ancestors, relatives of your own who come to meet with you. And this really is, in a sense, an ongoing process. So it may well be that is the beginning, that's the catalyst, that it's an aunt or an uncle or something like that who actually makes the connection first, father, mother, sister, brother. Usually fairly close relatives who actually come to begin the process. And because the reason for that is because they already have a love tie with you. So the love bridge between you is something which is already developed, and you have perhaps a sense of repeated understanding because of the situation of love which was between you in the physical life, which is continued to echo from the spirit world. Obviously, this will not apply to a person who has been abused by an uncle, aunt, relative of that state.
No.
So, and that is something that you must remember. I understand that some people try to state that this is an effect which is then discounted once they reach the spirit world. It isn't like that at all. They actually have to take and make atonement for their situations of physical life upon you.
Absolutely.
And so, yes.
Can I just say?
Oh, yes, please do.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing developing your gifts of spirit. And if you'd like to phone us with a question of interest, maybe you're interested about something that's happening to you or would like to happen to you, it's a toll-free number in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. And Canada is 888-810-8322.
Go! Oh, thank you.
Can you remember what you were going to say?
Yes. And so you have situations when you are presenting yourself for this state and you are connecting with someone and then they say, well, I cannot quite get through. That can sometimes be a problem. You see, sometimes communication from our side of life to your side in this way of using the mechanism of the mind, it needs for the mind to be trained. So the state is that you may hear parts of something that someone says, but not all of it. So what are you going to do if you do not actually, shall we say then that you actually, you do trust the being who is with you because it is a blood relative or was in the physical side of life. So what you're actually doing is you're creating that love bond and they're actually showing you by that communication that this is possible. So what then can happen is that those in the spirit world will actually gravitate to this because of the love vibration will mean that your light will begin to shine around you. Your auric field will begin to glow because you become elated by this form of communication between you. And actually what happens then is that, of course, your guide and doorkeeper will perhaps welcome others toward you from the spirit world who may wish to work with you in certain ways. And there will be different beings who will come from time to time and who will just really be within your auric field, try to blend with you. That means to blend, means to actually come close to you and try to be within the same or a similar vibration to yours. They will usually be of a vibration, of course, which means that you have to accelerate your vibration. How you do that? Through love. That is what you do. So when you feel them come close, you actually feel perhaps a form or an energy of love around you from them. That is them trying to make you feel all right about their presence. Then that perhaps will be the signatory that you need to extend your love to them. And this is something really which makes and helps to resolve and cement the relationship between you. This may not be a relationship which lasts for a long time, as we have said in previous programs, that this relationship may be only temporary. It could well be that this situation actually has nothing whatsoever to do with the doorkeeper, your guardian angel, or whomsoever you may decide to call this individual, quite simply because that situation of free will is would be tantamount to implicating him or herself as being obstructive to your free will. So all they would do is actually make note, usually, of who it is that is drawing close to you, or perhaps may not even do that. That may just be something which is written down and stored in your Akashic book for later use. So the situation then becomes that, shall we say that this being is a father or an uncle to you, and to begin with, that they draw quite close to you, and you feel this loving energy, and you reciprocate that loving energy, and you feel impressed with certain emotions and understanding from this being. It may well be that for some very rare situations that this person from your ancestry actually becomes the person who largely helps you in the communication process. But that is not a given. Usually, it will be one or possibly two or even three beings who will be those beings who will in fact deal with the situation on our side of life for you, on your behalf, and may even act as mediums between yourself and the recipient, so that the being from the spirit world actually communicates to them who communicate to you. How often have you said, oh, I have my boys here now, and they're here to help me, and they are telling me that they have an uncle of yours, and then lead to a certain person in the audience or something like that, yes? Mm-hmm. And that is actually how it works. That what happens then is that that uncle of that client person in physical life is actually giving telepathic or thought form messages to the people who are actually working with you, your helpers in the spirit world. And this group of beings then give you the information because they've become used to doing it, you see.
It's probably more accurate, isn't it?
And it is usually much more accurate to work in that way, to actually have beings in the spirit world that you are well familiar with. But I'm saying, though, that your development doesn't depend on it. You don't have to have this. Because don't forget, if you think in that way, this is always going to limit you and limit the possibility of your progress forward. So never try to think in terms of restriction. Oh, well, I'm going to have this or that gift of mediumship. In that case, I have to wait, or I have to develop the relationship between myself and two or three other people in the spirit world before I can do that. But it isn't the case, you see. Sometimes it just happens in a very subtle way, in a much more subtle way than you actually think possible. And they will suddenly come toward you and identify themselves. Oh, hello, I am whoever, Derek or whatever, and they actually give you their birth date, or really should actually be quite accurate about it, give you their birth name, where they were from, where they lived in physical life, and that kind of thing.
Isn't that all to do with the development, though? When you
it is really.
Sit in circle and meditate,
yes,
and do this, then you're attuning yourself to, not unbeknown to you at the time, but you're attuning yourself to your guides who want to work with you.
Yes, and that is really part of the point of what we're trying to make here, is that, you see, so the benefits really of sitting in a development circle like this are that you can really help one another, and being in that loving environment, which, of course, don't forget, if you have eight people sitting in a circle and you're all sending energy, you're all creating energy, loving energy, because of your raising of serotonin through the meditation process, or through the process of actually connecting with those in the spirit world, enables you to transcend the normal physical level of energy that you have. And this is something which brings about a very positive and clear envelope to your reasoning. It raises your conscious vibration, allowing you to connect with them, and to connect with them in a more fully way. So actually what happens then is that the whole thing, in a sense, kind of snowballs, and that what you have then is communication processes begin to come forward. Some people I know don't actually develop these forms of communication at all, and that could well be because they are actually bound for communication of a different form, or development of a totally different form of mediumship. Do not forget that most people have a form of mediumship somewhere within them. Everyone has the form and gift of healing, and that doesn't belittle healing or diminish it in any way. It is all about that level of development and raising of the vibration that is essential.
Well, absolutely, but it's gift is a sort of a tenuous word, really, isn't it? Because in saying that, it's like, well, if I have that gift, okay, can I have it, please? Well, you have to work for it. Most people have to work for it, as
yes.
in raising your vibration and doing the work that we've been suggesting in meditation.
Yes, it isn't something that you can buy off the shelf.
No, although, like we said before, there are people that have been, since a child, kept their medium qualities that they would have had, which everybody would have had, wouldn't they?
Oh, yes. Absolutely so.
Most children's a medium?
Oh, yes, yes. It is only really because of the fact that it is driven out of you for some reason or other, usually environmental, or at least that is the precursor to it, which means that your vibration is lowered, which means that you no longer have that mediumship ability or that you don't have that present access to it. You do have the ability, you just have to find it, allow it to resurface in your life.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's clairvoyance.
Yes.
And clairaudience. What about clairsentience?
So clairsentience, this really is to do with your largest organ, which is your skin. Clairsentience comes from the vibration of others, from the spirit world, and that vibration of love is driven toward you by their intention to create it and to send it, because their intention is that they want to be positively focused upon you to help them. Don't forget that they're not doing it for nothing. They are actually beings in the spirit world. They're actually focusing their energy upon you, sending love toward you because they want your attention, because they have something that they want to communicate. They're not doing it solely for their own selfish reasons. Don't misunderstand me. They are usually doing it because they want to help somebody else in the physical life, and they can't get through to them. So what they're doing is they're using you as a go-between. So what actually happens then is that the being in the spirit world is actually sending you a certain form of energy and direction from themselves. And this is something which actually, it comes toward you as a vibration, as a sine wave, if you like, through the atmosphere of physical life. So that is quite interesting, in fact, that a being from the ether world is actually able to do that, to send a wave of energy toward you from the spirit world, and it actually reaches your skin and you feel it. You may not feel it, on the other hand, and it may just be something which is then organized as a perception of your own reality, and this is brought about by your consciousness, by your raised consciousness. And so what actually happens there in that case is that your consciousness is, in a sense, raised because you feel, have these feelings coming through you. And it is almost as though these feelings are imperceptible and yet they make sense. They only perhaps feel like the finest of feathers upon your skin, or perhaps they're just making you feel as though you have a tingly feeling up your back, or perhaps they are in your auric field and you actually feel their presence upon your face or something like that. Incidentally, that doesn't necessarily mean to say that they're really close to you, because your auric field may have extended some 20 feet away, particularly if you have been meditating and you have drawn from the well of love within a self during your development circle meeting, and this is something then which has raised your vibration, and it will have also extended your auric field quite considerably. So even though this may be a contact that you feel is very close, it could be some 20 feet away. Distance is a matter of the respect of what we call one and one, which is distance equals time in physical reality. In the spirit world, it doesn't. Distance doesn't equal time in the spirit world, because the situation of one and one in the spirit world is complete. You think it, you are it. You express it, you be it. If you want to think of a situation, you don't actually have to use the process of of analog complication, if you like. It is just the same as if you were, it is exactly the same as if you were a physical being and you're trying to receive a digital signal, but you only have an analog system with which to relay it. So you need actually something which is going to transfer the analog signal into a digital one. What happens when the ether world, when in the ether world the spirit wants to communicate with you, they actually send you a product wave of that invitation. It is the energy of love, as I say. They see you as a light and they are attracted to it. Not like flies to a light, but that they actually send it in a way of a gift of love, if you like. So they send that vibration, you pick it up, and what actually happens, how it is transformed, is that they send it through the thought form, and that is something which is instant. And that's how you pick it up. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to wait for them to answer a specific question or something like that, because this is something to do with the senses. So it isn't in the words, in the way of words, but is in the way of feeling. So you're picking up certain feelings. Since being a sensitive will actually be perhaps that you will feel how that person passed. Perhaps they will give you a condition upon your chest, or that you suddenly find difficulty breathing or something like that. Or perhaps pains in the head. They'll only be momentarily. They won't stay. They'll go. And if they don't go, say, please, can you take that away, please? Thank you. And then you will just continue. So how do you begin with this process? If you're just having senses, what do you say? Well, the best thing to do, my friend, if you're in a circle like this, stand up. That's the first thing. Stand up. Try to maintain the connection that you have. Say you just have a sense of feelings, a set of feelings that are ambient with you, that you feel compelled to say something to a specific person in the room. Oh, I have someone with me that is, and just begin speaking. They will fill in the blanks, and if you make mistakes, don't worry over it. That is all a part of the learning process. That's what you're there for. Rome wasn't built in a day, and nor will be your mediumship. You will have to become crafted in it. And this is the point of what you will need to do. So I'm not saying that this is the outset for everyone. I'm just saying that if there is a very specific thing that you want to do, that you want to achieve, then perhaps that will be something to do. To say at the beginning, oh, well, very well, I want to sit this time, and this circle is going to be for clairvoyance, clairsentience, and clairaudience. And that is what you have.
Yes, well, what if people, we've only got a minute left.
Yes.
But what if people don't know what if they've got any of these, but they hope that they have?
Yes.
Then
if they don't know, what they will do is they will sit for having the experience to begin with. They will sit for just development. Not specific, non-specific development. And that will mean that those beings in the spirit world, as I say, usually loving ancestors and that kind of thing to begin with, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, immediate family members who have passed to the spirit world, will come and be with them to begin with. Loving dogs as well, pets, cats, dogs, guinea pigs, horses, whatever it is, they too will be present.
Yes, well, and usually we start people off on an awareness group. We call it an awareness group. If you are, as I just said, you are not sure, you feel that you would like to explore your gifts if you have any, but you're not sure, you're new to this, you're a novice, so we suggest the awareness group, don't we?
Yes, and being a novice, that can be something which is actually over a year, 18 months, 2 years, whatever it is, mm-hmm. whatever it takes for you to realize that you have some specific leanings in one direction or other, or maybe all three, maybe in a different direction completely from what we have just been speaking of.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll continue this again next week. And I know that people haven't phoned in because they've been absolutely riveted and are fascinated
mesmerized,
by it.
Friend, mesmerized.
Sometimes I think, oh, if they don't phone in, oh, no, they don't love us. But they do, because they always email and say, I've listened to you every week. And I say, really?
For years, yes.
Yes, for years, you know. Like,
yes.
Well, good. Lovely. Okay, well, thanks, Gregory.
Thank you so. With love and light, and blessings be upon your pathway, and may every door open that you wish of it.
Bless.
And be safe.
Okay, I'd just like to squeeze in that our mini Akashic readings are on the 14th of May and the 17th of May. That's the evening program on the Monday and the afternoon program on the Thursday. If you would like one, they're free. It's the full name at birth that we need, including a middle name, your date of birth, a telephone number, one question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. However, if you would like a full Akashic reading, the business, and this is no substitute for the real thing, honestly, that, you know, I mean, okay, you have to pay for it, but really, the mini Akashic reading is just a little taste or a little snippet of what we do. It's wonderful. Then you get in touch with us through the same or our Akashic reading site on the website. Our website is spirit-teaching.com. Okay, so I'd just like to mention that we have the two shows this week. We have another one on Thursday at 1 o'clock PST, and then we have Spirit Teaching Radio Show on artistbirth.com on Tuesday. Details are also on our site. So until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.